Chapter 24. Martin Hurst ejected the magazine from his Glock, checked the number of rounds, and then slotted it back in. There was a suppressor screwed into the barrel. The three men with him in the car were all checking their weapons too. They were professionals, and that's what professionals did. All of their guns were silenced. The target was in a residential area, and one way or another at least one of the guns was going to be fired. There was no way that Sally Page was going to get out of this alive.
Right, Josh deals with the lock. As soon as the door opens, I'll go in. Baz, you follow me. Josh, your tail end Charlie.
He turned to look at the driver. His name was Christoph, and that was all Hurst knew. He'd been told that Christoph would be a member of his team, and there was no questioning the orders of the men that Hurst worked for. Christoph barely spoke, though the few times he had, it was clear he had decent enough English. He hadn't offered up any information on his background, but Hurst was fairly sure he was former Special Forces, or Spetsnaz, as the Russians called them. There was no way of guessing which unit Christoph had served with, though it was clear from his cold, dead eyes that he had killed in the past.
Christoph, you stay here with the engine running.
No problem, said the Russian.
There were seven men on Hurst's team, and Baz and Josh were the only two that he trusted. He certainly didn't trust Christoph, and was fairly sure that the Russian was reporting back to the men who had hired him. That was why he always kept Christoph close, more often than not driving his vehicles. The rest of the team were all Americans, and all former Special Forces, mainly Delta Force or Navy SEALs. They were a nasty bunch, and had clearly crossed over to the dark side some time ago. Hurst could understand the concept of killing for money, but not the fact that they took such pleasure from it. They were based in a large rented house in Ealing, and when they weren't out on the road, the Americans sat drinking beer and swapping stories, most of which seemed to involve people begging for their lives. When Hurst had been given the job, the Americans had come with it. They needed Hurst for his local experience, but they were the muscle. Hurst wasn't sure that he could trust the Americans, and he was damn sure he couldn't trust the Russian. So he brought two men he knew onto the team, Barry, Baz McKenzie, and Josh Taylor. He had known Baz for 5 years, and Josh for double that, and trusted them both with his life. Both were proficient with weapons, but only Josh had seen military service. Baz was from Glasgow, where he'd been a bare-knuckle fighter as a teenager, leaving him with a twisted nose and cauliflower ears. He'd abandoned the fight game at 22 after a barrage of punches to his chest had imploded a lung. He'd started work as an enforcer for a local bookie, and it had been a short journey from breaking legs and arms to killing for money. Now, at 24, he had a dozen kills to his credit, most of them related to drugs disputes north of the border. He had taken to dyeing his hair blonde and growing it long enough to tie back in a short ponytail, and wore a diamond stud in his left ear. Josh Taylor was a different matter. Like Hurst, he was a former paratrooper and had seen action around the world. They had served together for almost 2 years before Hurst had gone off to join the SAS. Taylor was happy being a paratrooper and had been set for a 20-year military career until it was cut short when he broke his hip during a NATO exercise in the summer of 2018. As part of Sabre Strike, the paras had joined 18,000 troops from 19 NATO nations in operations across the Baltic states. Taylor's jump had gone wrong, and while the army gave him reasonable medical care, they made it clear that he had no future as a soldier. Taylor managed to find work as a static security guard, mainly guarding building stores at night, and was pretty much living from hand to mouth. He had developed a drinking problem, and after a year of soul-destroying solitary work, had decided to use the skills that the army had taught him. Hurst had heard on the para grapevine that Josh had become a killer for hire, and the man had jumped at the opportunity of working with Hurst, especially when he heard how much the job paid.
Hurst had spent an evening drinking with Josh, gradually revealing what it is they would have to do, and he had been surprised at the lack of reluctance even when he disclosed the nature of the victims. The money was obviously a big attraction, but the way the army had treated Josh had clearly twisted his mind. Hurst understood. He wasn't doing it for the money either. Marty wasn't happy at having to lead the breaching of the flat, but he didn't see that he had any choice. Sally had seen him outside the house in Wimbledon, and truth be told, he should have killed her there and then. He was armed at the time, she was in the house and he was outside. It should have been the easiest thing in the world to have put two rounds in her chest. He still wasn't sure why he hadn't, or why she had been able to push him out of the way and run. MI5 self-defense training wasn't a patch on the SAS's, but she had obviously learned enough to catch him by surprise. Her punches had hurt too. Luckily, no one had seen her attack him, and by the time Baz and Josh had joined him outside, he had grabbed his sunglasses and told them that she had run off before he had reached the house. He wasn't sure if they believed him or not, but either way, they had to accept it, because he was running the op and they were the hired help. "Just so you know, she's probably got the thumb drive on her. It wasn't at the house, and it's one of hers, so that's a sound conclusion. If we get the thumb drive, then we don't need her. End of. But if the thumb drive isn't there, we need a hard interrogation to get the intel from her. So we go in hard, and we take out anyone with her. But we don't shoot her until we know whether she has it or not. No itchy trigger fingers, okay?" Baz and Josh nodded. Hurst called Winchester on his mobile. "Billy, we've got a location on the girl. You can clean up your mess and get out of there." "It's all going to be over in a few minutes. This part of it, anyway. Where shall we meet?" "Just park up and wait. I'll be in touch." Hurst ended the call and put his phone away. He twisted around in his seat and nodded at Baz and Josh. "Ready, guys?" The two men nodded. "Right, here we go," said Hurst. He opened the door and stepped onto the pavement. Josh and Baz followed him. They headed to the door.